Bible. We're glad that you joined us today, and I hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to you. We've been talking about the revelation of the Apostle Paul, and we've been looking at some real wonderful truths that we find through Paul's epistles. I hope that if you can, you'll take your Bible and follow along in the Scriptures as we go through the study today. And if you can't do that, perhaps you could take a pencil and paper and jot down the Scriptures. Also, keep that pencil and paper handy, because at the end of the broadcast, we're going to give you information about how you can contact us. We're going to give you our address, our telephone number, and our website, so that you could contact us by email if you desire. And also, I would invite you to visit our website and read the articles there. We have messages there on the website that you can listen to. And if you've got any comments about the broadcast, I would love to hear from you. Whether they're negative or positive comments, we would love to hear from you and find out what you think about the broadcast. And so drop us a card or a letter or give me a telephone call. We'd love to hear from you. And if you need more information, we've got tapes, we've got the literature that we could send you, and we'd be happy to do so if you'll just get in touch with us. So at the end of the broadcast, we'll be giving you the information that you need along those lines. We've been talking about the revelation of Paul. And when we talk about the revelation of Paul, we talk about, of course, the writings of Paul in the Bible. I've got a chart up here, and we've listed the books of the New Testament as they occur in your Bible. They start with Matthew, of course, and you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those books in our study we have found refer to the life of Jesus Christ, and during that period of time, we find that the gospel of the kingdom is being preached. That gospel was committed to the 12. They were sent to Israel, and they were operating under the law of Moses. We find in those books as well the death of Christ. And then we find the ministry of the 12 over there in the early part of Acts as a result of that which they were taught back during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. However, in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is saved, and he then writes 13 books, Romans through Philemon. In those 13 books, we find the gospel of the grace of God. We find that that gospel was committed to Paul. We find that Paul says he's the apostle to the Gentiles. We find that he was given the dispensation of the grace of God. And we find the truth for the church, the body of Christ. The last books in the Bible, Hebrews through Revelation, the doctrine there will match the kingdom doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as the world moves into the tribulation and then the Lord returns and establishes kingdom with Israel. Now, the books of Romans through Philemon are Paul's epistles. And in those epistles, we find the revelation given to Paul, and Paul writes that down for us. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, he said, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Paul, when he was saved in Acts chapter 9, received a revelation, and that revelation had to do with salvation. We know that he didn't receive all the revelation at that time because of what he says in Acts chapter 26, I believe it is, when he talks about the Lord appearing unto him in the things then and then in the future. But we know that we have in the writings of Paul the entire complete revelation given to the Apostle Paul, and that body of truth is called a body of sound doctrine, the form of sound doctrine, and that is the truth for the church, the body of Christ today. There's much confusion in the church today because people fail to pay attention to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So we want to divide the Scriptures that are written directly to us and directly for us than those that are written for the nation Israel and for the nations that were blessing Israel and so forth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul's revelation of Romans through Philemon is the truth for the church, the body of Christ that we have today. And in that body of truth, we find the salvation for that church, we find the walk of that church, we find the position of that church in Christ, and on it goes throughout his epistles. Now, last time we studied, we were talking about the Great Commission. And I mentioned several things there concerning that commission and showed how that Paul was not operating under that commission. Number one, they were sent to preach the gospel. We saw that that gospel was the gospel of the kingdom. Paul's gospel was the gospel of the grace of God. We just briefly went through those things. And so today, I want to go back and I want to talk to you a little bit about some differences in that kingdom program that we find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the dispensation of grace that we find in Romans through Philemon. The first thing I want to talk to you about is the gospel. As I mentioned last time, Christ told the disciples, He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And according to Matthew chapter 24, that gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. I want you to notice in your Bible, back in Matthew chapter 4, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's the same gospel that John preached. Back in Matthew 3:2, he said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Over in Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9, in verse 35, the Bible says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So the gospel that was being preached during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the gospel of the kingdom. That's the good news of the kingdom. What is that good news? The good news is that the King has come. The Messiah has arrived on the scene, the one you've been looking for all of this time. Over in Luke chapter 1, we find an account there of the expectation of the Messiah coming. In Luke chapter 1, verse 68, Zacharias is speaking, the father of John the Baptist, and he says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Now the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 15 that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. You say, why is all this important? Well, folks, it's important because if we're going to see people saved today, they're going to be saved by preaching the gospel that is for today. You see, simply believing that Christ is the Messiah or was the Messiah will not save anybody. Simply believing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that He died on a cross and went into a tomb and was resurrected will not save anybody. Well, you say, what will save people? I'll tell you what will save people. The gospel committed to the Apostle Paul. Paul said that the ministry that he received, Acts 20, verse 24, was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And he said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So the gospel that was given to Paul is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believes. What is that gospel? Well, it goes far beyond the fact that Jesus Christ was simply the Messiah, even though that's a wonderful truth and an important truth. It goes beyond the fact that Jesus Christ died on a cross and was buried and was raised again. You see, Peter, in preaching that gospel of the kingdom in Acts 2:38, said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. But he said in Acts chapter 2:30 that this Jesus, whom God had raised up to sit upon the throne of David. They believed that Christ was the Messiah. That's what the gospel of the kingdom was all about. And as a matter of fact, Jesus told them in Matthew 24, he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. And that's exactly what they were preaching, they being the 12, up until Acts chapter 9 when Paul is saved, and Paul is given the gospel of the grace of God. What is that gospel? Well, we find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we usually just quote it, but let me read it to you because it's interesting, that it's important that we read verse 1 as well. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Now notice what he says that gospel is. He said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The gospel that Paul proclaimed was not the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel that Paul proclaimed was the good news of Christ and the good news of the grace of God, that when Christ hung on that cross, that He died for our sins. He became our substitute. He took our place there on Calvary. The Bible says God made Him to be sin for us, the one who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's the good news today, folks. The good news today is that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now, that goes beyond the truth of Christ being the Messiah, and that goes even beyond the truth that Christ died, was buried, and was raised again. You see, all of that proves that Christ was the Messiah. When Peter was preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he was preaching it as proof that Christ was the Messiah, and he was preaching it also as that Christ was going to return to sit upon the throne of David. But when Paul preached the death, burial, and resurrection, he does not say, his emphasis is not just upon the fact that Christ was raised from the dead, proving Him to be the Messiah. He said He was raised again for our justification. And when He said, when He died on that cross, He died for our sins. He died because we were sinners. He died because of the condition that we were in. So the gospel that was preached by Peter and James and John, the gospel that was contained in the Great Commission, was the gospel of the kingdom. That gospel included the truth of repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That gospel included the gospel that Jesus Christ preached in Matthew chapter 19, when a man came to Him and said, "Good Master, what must I do to be saved?" He said, "Keep the commandments." That commission included teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And in Matthew 23, He commanded them to keep the law of Moses. Read it there sometime and see. But when Paul preached the gospel, his gospel did not include water baptism. It did not include keeping the commandments. It did not include any of those things. It included only the fact that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and He was raised again the third day. And he said, the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. You see, today, salvation is based upon what people believe. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says, "In whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Now, the question is, have you believed? And what have you believed? You see, there's numerous people today. You ask them, have you believed in God? They'll say, yes. You believe in Jesus? Yes. You believe that Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God? Oh, absolutely. You believe Jesus Christ died on the cross? Well, certainly. Do you believe He was raised from the dead? Without a doubt. But when you ask people, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and paid for every one of them to the extent that there is nothing that you have to do in your flesh to be saved? Now, that's a different issue. People have a little different attitude when you begin to ask them that question, because, you see, most people want to believe that even though Christ died on that cross, as a man told me one time, he said, "Well, you know, Christ did His part when He died on the cross. Now I've got to do my part." Well, the only part that man has today in salvation is belief. Simply trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul says. He said, "In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth," the good news, the gospel of your salvation, "in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." So the gospel of the kingdom that we find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was called that. It was called the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel that Paul preached was called the gospel of the grace of God and the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it was the good news of grace. It was the good news of Christ's finished work. The gospel message of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, keep the commandments, so forth and so on. But with Paul, it was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe what? Believe that He died for your sins. Then I want you to notice the audience to whom this message was sent. In Matthew chapter 10, and many times people overlook these facts, but this is very important. In Matthew chapter 10, in verses 1 through 4, the disciples are named there. And then in verse 5 it says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." Now, I want you to understand something. People are not operating under that commission today. Notice what he said. He said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." So the people to whom they were sent were Israelites. They were the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Those are Jews. But notice what Paul said about his ministry over in 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, he says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Now, I want you to notice here that when Paul writes 1 Timothy chapter 2, he is not going only to the Jews, as they were told to do in Matthew chapter 10. He is being sent to all men. As a matter of fact, in the first recorded message of the Apostle Paul back in Acts chapter 13, he makes it very clear that the gospel that has been committed to him is a gospel that brings about forgiveness for all men from all sins. In Acts chapter 13, verse 38, Paul goes into the synagogue, as he does from city to city. When he first goes to a new city, he always goes to the synagogue first. And Acts 13, obviously, is not Paul's first message, but it's his first recorded message. And in that message, he says in Acts 13, 38, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." In other words, the good news of Paul's message is that there are no sins for which you cannot get forgiveness today. You know, there's a lot of people that believe today that they're are still unpardonable sins in this present dispensation in which we're living, the dispensation of the grace of God. Where do they get that? Well, look over in Matthew chapter 12, and if you're turning in your Bible, you may want to hold on to Acts 13. We'll come back there in a moment. But in Matthew chapter 12, in verse 31, the Lord is teaching the disciples, and he says there, Acts 12, verse 31, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men." Now, that was part of the kingdom message. In other words, those that rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, those that blasphemed against the Holy Ghost, there was no forgiveness for them. And you'll find that occurs in Acts chapter 7. As Stephen is preaching, they stone him to death there. Those men committed blasphemy, and there was no forgiveness. But Paul committed blasphemy, said he did in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and he said that he received forgiveness. Why is that? That's because God Almighty is beginning a program of grace whereby men can be forgiven from all sins. And that's what Paul says over there in Acts chapter 13, verse 38. "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Now that's good news today, because I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you've done in the past. Listen now. If you will believe the truth of the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day, it matters not how many times you have rejected that in the past. It matters not whether you believe that you've committed blasphemy. It matters not what you have done in your flesh, whether you've committed murder or adultery or anything else, if you will believe the truth of the gospel and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, He'll save you. Why is that? That's because today forgiveness is unconditional. Now, that wasn't always true. Back in Matthew chapter 6, under that kingdom program, we have what people call the Lord's Prayer. And it is the Lord's Prayer. It's the Lord teaching the disciples how to pray. Back there in Matthew chapter 6, He said, "After this manner therefore pray ye," in verse 9, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Notice that the prayer is for His kingdom to come, and it's to come upon the earth. Then He says, verse 14, "For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." You see the condition there that's placed on that? He said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Well, you know, in the revelation of Paul, in Paul's writings, over in the book of Colossians, we find something much different from that. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul makes it very clear that God has already forgiven us all trespasses. In Colossians chapter 2, in verse 13, the Bible says, "And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which, that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross." You see there, He hath forgiven us all trespasses, the Bible said. It's not dependent upon us forgiving somebody else. God forgave us for Christ's sake at Calvary. Back 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, all of our sins were yet in the future. And when Christ died for those sins, He died for the sins of all men. All sin, all men can be forgiven today on the basis of the finished work of Christ and His shed blood if people will simply trust in that which He did for them on Calvary. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have the gospel of the kingdom. In Romans through Philemon, we have the gospel of the grace of God. That gospel of the kingdom includes repentance, water baptism, which was all a part, keeping the law, which was all a part of the Great Commission. Paul's gospel was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe the gospel, Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised again the third day. That's the gospel that Paul preached. The gospel that Paul preached was to all men. The gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it went forth to the Jews. As a matter of fact, one of the passages in regard to that, in Matthew chapter 15, there is a woman who comes to Jesus, and the Bible says there in verse 21, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan," this would be a Gentile woman, "came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Now, the religious world has people believe that Jesus Christ and His earthly ministry is just going about and is gracious and loving and kind and trying to save everybody. But notice the response here. "But He answered her not a word." Here's a woman beseeching Jesus, and He answered her not a word. "And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said," now notice the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Remember what Paul said in Romans 15? Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. He said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." "Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread," that would be the Israelites, the Jews, "and to cast it to dogs." He called that Gentile woman a dog. "And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ had a specific ministry in His first coming. It had to do with his earthly walk, but that earth walk ended in the death upon Calvary, which when he died upon Calvary, he was accomplishing something that was planned before the foundation of the world. The difference is that it was not made known until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. So people today that go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and try to follow the pattern of salvation there end up in confusion. People that go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and try to follow the doctrine of those books end up in confusion. And we're going to look at more of that next week on the broadcast, how that the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, even though it was true and right for Israel, and it's wonderful to study, it's not the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. The doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the doctrine for Israel, just as Jesus Christ said, "I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So where do you find your doctrine today? You find your doctrine in Romans through Philemon. And the most important doctrine you find in Romans through Philemon is the doctrine of salvation, and that is Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he was raised again the third day. And if you want to be saved today, you don't have to repent and be baptized. You don't have to forgive somebody else. You don't have to turn over a new leaf, join the church, get baptized, or any of those things. You just have to believe the gospel. Believe that Christ died for your sins. Believe that when he hung on that cross, he became your sin. And God has forgiven you for Christ's sake. And when you trust in him, simply relax, quit trying to save yourself, and trust in what he did, the Lord Jesus Christ will save you. He died for you, and that's the message that Paul was sent forth to preach. Won't you believe it today?
Grace Bible Church extends to you and your family a cordial invitation to join us for our Sunday services. Bible classes begin at 10 a.m. with morning service at 11 and informal evening Bible study at 6 p.m. For more information, phone 847-0768. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Understanding Your Bible. For more information, write to the address on your screen or call 423-847-0768. Be sure to be with us again next week for another edition of Understanding Your Bible.